let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs by Dr. Robert Taguchi has been called an innovative view of personal empowerment seen through the lens of a technology pioneer's life. The book provides a glimpse into the successful attributes of this remarkable icon of the technology industry. Often characterized as one of the founders of the personal computer revolution, Steve Jobs displayed distinct habits and behaviors of entrepreneurship that were the foundations of his success. Winning Habits delves into an exploration of the how behind Jobs' remarkable success. Dr. Robert Taguchi is a writer who served as a former faculty member of the National Defense University, teaching courses on leadership, strategy, and personal effectiveness. He also spent over a decade contributing to a conceptual change within the U.S. Army and served two tours with the U.S. Army's Training and Doctrine Command as the Director, Strategic Plans, and Chief Initiatives Group. Dr. Robert Taguchi, author of The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs, over 50 Amazon reviews, by the way, all 5 stars. He's our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Taguchi, welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks so very much for having me on your show.
It's interesting looking at all the comments on Amazon. You can go there, buy the book, and look at all of these. And I'm looking, and they're all like 5-star and all lavishing praise on the book. This has been a remarkable success and really shaping a lot of people, a lot of young people entering the workforce out there. It is giving them something, a solid foundation to go on. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about yourself and your decision to write this book. Give me a little bit more about your background and why writing this book from this particular angle was so important to you.
Well, it's just a favor of God for me to be here. I know when I was a little kid, I've always wanted to write, and I never had those skills. So I guess back then I just wanted to come up with a big product like a book. But later on, I guess, when I've been in the military, I realized that the Army was going through a tremendous period of change, probably from the 1990s to really up till now. And what I found was the pace of change was actually increasing, and more we're finding that technology was affecting everything that we did when I was in the military. And even today, everything from microprocessors to cell phones to automation, the arrival of 3D printing, in artificial intelligence and machine learning. And now we've got hypervelocity, biogenetics, and even brain computer interface. It just seems that the pace of change was growing so much that I started getting into innovation. And I thought about it, and really the person that stood out to me was Steve Jobs. If you had to look at an entrepreneur that really got into technology and took it to the next level. I mean, who better than Steve Jobs to study for technology? He developed the iMac, you know, the MacBook, the iPod, the iPad, iTunes, and the iPhone. He's just had a series of just blockbuster technology breakthroughs. And I wanted to get into finding out what exactly was the secret behind his success.
You know, it's interesting, and you do such a good job of that in the book, The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs. As you're talking there, it's how do you keep up on all this technology? It's almost like change is happening faster than we can sort of sort it out and keep up with it. It's remarkable, isn't it? Maybe just in the last decade.
It's the hardest thing because there's so many articles coming about of just breakthroughs in technology. Yes. Even this whole hypervelocity, weapons came out of nowhere. And we've got to keep pace. So what I do is I really try to have a broad network of folks that are feeding me. I have a large number of over 5,000 folks on LinkedIn. I give them a lot of information, articles. They reciprocate. So just about every day, I think I'm reading 15 to 20 articles on new capabilities because you have to keep pace with what's going on just to stay current.
I want to talk about the motivation to write this book. Dr. Robert Taguchi is our guest on the program, the author of the book, The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs. You'll find the book available at the usual places, Amazon, Dr. Taguchi's website. And I'll give you the information on that here in just a second where you can find the website. Talk about the motivation to write this book on Steve Jobs and maybe surprising yourself. We all know a little bit about him, but when you started doing the research and working on this, were even you more impressed with this gentleman?
I think it's because most of the books about Steve Jobs are talking about just his history in terms of the, you know, the startups, the,
Yes.
you know, his personal life, just facts about dates and events. But I wanted to really know what was it about Steve Jobs that made him tick, and get into those details. And what I found was that he was very much into habits, and that Steve Jobs made it a point to treat every single day differently. He had a quote that he used: "If today was the last day of my life, what would I want to do with what I'm about to do today? What would he do differently about his day?" And he would evaluate himself every single day on the way that he conducted his business. And so with that framework, he actually had a daily habit of going through, and was an early riser at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And then he would go into the same routine each day. He would have face-to-face meetings in the morning with Apple product management teams. And then in the afternoons, he would get into actually working hands-on in his Apple Design Center, so that he could feel the products, he could get immersed in the technology, and he could talk to his engineers about how to improve the specific product. And then later on the day, he would devote time towards his family. And he had the same set routine every day because he became better and better at what he did because of this routine. I also noted that he would actually try to change his habits to reflect his core values. And his core values focused around his family and the interaction with people. He didn't like to do things electronically. He wanted to be face to face with individuals and talk. He wanted to make Apple the premier company in the US, to be known as a technology pioneer. And he wanted to be the premier tech entrepreneur of his time. So his values then led him to change the habits that got him there. And so what I tried to do was start to catalog those habits. And I have about 35 habits I found, and I broke them down into three sections. Habits of character, which are very important in terms of his mindset, how he thought and how he approached things in his life based on his identity. Then he had habits of knowledge of how to be successful in areas such as problem solving. And being able to attract A-plus players and getting really competent folks working for him, and then habits of execution. And I thought he got really good at streamlining and amplifying simplicity in everything that he did. So when I started getting into these habits, I realized that those are very key to him being successful.
With us on the program is Dr. Robert Taguchi. He's the author of the book, The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs. I know as a Christian, you consider habits to be of importance. Talk about the role of habits in that context.
Yeah, I'm a Christian, and I'm just glad that I became born again back in the early 80s. And God really took charge of my life. And prior to that time, I was really into math and science, and I was a dedicated engineer, and I was a civil engineer in the 80s. And I just did 180 degrees because my desires changed, and I became a historian, and I really started getting into reading and writing. And so just me personally, I think that experience helped me. But now when it gets to habits, what the Lord started leading me to is looking at my habits, and I developed a habit of firsts, which means everything in my life, the first thing I do is I think about the Lord. So in the morning, I get up at 5, and I pray, and I set everything for my day. And I also follow with my finances. You know, I give the first, you know, 10% before I do anything with my money. So I've gotten into this habit of first, and as a Christian, it's really helped me to live a very smooth and simple life.
Is this something we overlook, the importance of habits in a person's success in a career field? Usually you talk about maybe other attributes rather than habits. Is that something that maybe we overlook? And you're bringing it into focus now by talking about this remarkable individual that really has shaped all of our lives, Steve Jobs, and the role habits played in shaping that. Is this something that we maybe overlook?
Yes, I think the thing that I observed was habits actually come in layers. And so if you think of a person and his personality as an onion, you have several layers. So for the ability to change and to adapt with habits, I guess the outer layer would be changes in outcomes. So if somebody wants to change their personal outcome, such as losing weight or getting more fit, or to quit smoking, to quit drinking, to read daily or publish a book, those are outcomes, and you can change your habits that way. And of course, Steve Jobs was good at that because he set a lot of short and long-term goals. But then there's a second layer of the onion, which is changing your processes or your practices. So your habits and systems can be changed, your routines. And at work, you can have a better workflow system with habits to change that workflow, and new routines at the gym, or new routines with your relationships. So process is another layer of change where habits play a role. And an even bigger part of how to change is to change your identity. That's your worldview, how you see everything around you, your image of yourself. What do you think of you as an individual? Being a Christian is a change in a worldview. Being an entrepreneur could be a change in worldview if you were a salaried worker before. Who you are makes a difference. So if you get the question, are you going to quit smoking? If you approach that with a outcome focus, you could say, I'm trying to quit smoking. But if you change your identity, then you would say, I'm not a smoker. That's why I don't smoke. So I think we have to look at layers of behavior and how habits play a role in every single layer.
How difficult is it to change habits, maybe to reinvent myself? I think I've been doing this for a number of years. This is who I am. To be innovative, you do need to reinvent, don't you?
Yes. One of the things that I thought was really good about Steve Jobs, that's why I love studying him, is because he wanted to amplify simplicity. So if he wanted to change, one of the things he would do is shed all of the things that were not necessary. Shed the baggage. Anything that you were doing in the past that just wasn't working, there's no sense dragging that along. So just simplify your lifestyle and cut it out of your system. And that way you can focus on true change in what you want to do with your life. And I love that idea of amplifying simplicity and focus in how he really drilled into what he wanted to change. And I saw him doing that with some of his breakthrough products that he did, is that he would focus on one problem at a time, and he would take the spotlight off of other things that were cluttering up his life and only doing that. And I think that kind of focus is necessary if you want to have revolutionary change in your life.
We see when we talk about Steve Jobs, we see the innovation. We see him developing revolutionary products. What role did habits play in achieving those breakthrough innovations? How important was habits to him leading to these breakthroughs?
Now, one habit he talked a lot about when it came to breakthrough innovations was connecting the dots. And I said, what does he mean by connecting the dots? I really don't understand that. What does that mean? And what I found in studying what he did was he was looking at insights in different fields. So if he was looking for a big breakthrough product, he would look at two different fields, two different areas of commercial products. So he would first look at the computer industry because he was very good at with microprocessors and technology and computers and electronics. But then he would branch out and look into the music industry. And he started to find what were the problems in music. And what he found there was that folks wanted to have their own musical device. They wanted to have it carried around. And they didn't want to have one or two songs or 10 songs. They wanted to have, hundreds of songs, maybe 1,000 songs. So then he started thinking about a breakthrough would be something that you could apply your computer insights and technology into the music field. And he had some of his folks, like John Rubinstein, search around industry for, that ideal disc, that 1.8-inch disc drive that could hold 5 gigabytes of information on it. He found that piece. It was very small, the size of a quarter. And then he found Tony Fadell that knew how to make these MP3 devices, and he told him to bring those two together, miniaturize that, and he came up, of course, with the iPod. But I thought that the way that his process worked in his mind was that he was looking at connecting the dots between two separate fields. And whenever you bring two fields together, you can have tremendous breakthroughs. Today, you can see it with the computer industry and with the health system. Just look at how artificial intelligence and you know, genetic mapping and all of those mathematical engineering capabilities are being applied to the field of science and the field of health, and you're getting tremendous breakthroughs because they're able to diagnose things much quicker. They're able to find genetic splicing capabilities to make people whole. And you wouldn't have that if you didn't have that synergy between two separate fields. So I love Steve Habit's habit of connecting the dots.
The book is an excellent read. It's The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs by our guest on the program, Dr. Robert Taguchi. His website is roberttaguchi.com. You'll find the book at Amazon. Link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, to get more information. Was there something unique about Jobs' character that made him who he was and the legacy that he's left behind? Something unique about that character?
And it's the amazing thing about Steve is that he wasn't born into this natural ability to change. I mean, he actually had a lot of flaws when he was a young, 18-year-old, and when he was 20 years old. In fact, people that used to, be associated with him say that he never took a bath. He always had dirty clothes on. He used to wash his feet in the toilet in front of people. He looked like Ho Chi Minh, and he wouldn't be the kind of person that you would think would be a CEO. But because he had that willingness to apply habits to change, you could see him incrementally improving his relationships. He developed a habit of seeking mentors and brought people into his life that could teach him how to do the balance sheet, how to run a business, how to inspire other workers. He surrounded himself with very smart people to mentor him, and he always wanted A-plus workers to be working with. So he, over time, incrementally changed. And when he was fired from Apple in the 80s, he quickly went right back to it, rebounded, established Pixar next, and took it to the next level because he really wanted to improve. So I think the difference with Steve was that it was his willingness to apply habits to change, because you could see from his early 18 to 20-year-old period that he was nowhere close to being the person that he was finally when he had this big breakthrough products.
Something you write about I find fascinating. In solving problems, he didn't rely on marketing surveys to steer his choices for consumers. He trusted his own intuition, his own gut instincts. Talk about that and the importance of that, because sometimes we rely too much on marketing surveys, on all of these bits of information that you can be overwhelmed. He just sort of went by what he thought was right.
Well, Steve always looked from the angle of the customer's perspective. How would the consumer, how would the user feel about that product? And he, in his own mind, would critique the product and that was in existence today, and find all of the flaws with it. And then he would envision what the best possible product was, whether it's in the phone, such as the cellular industry, moving towards that iPhone, or whether it was in music. He would search for that ideal product, have that goal, and then drive his change towards that goal. So I think in his particular case, he knew instinctively what good would be like from the consumer perspective. He was always worried about how the consumer would feel when they picked up the product, how the consumer would feel if they owned it. The brand was very important to Steve Jobs. Even opening up the box, did the box have that touch of quality, that touch of being unique and different and special, and have that A-plus character to it? That whole experience would be controlled by Steve Jobs. And because his instinct normally was a lot better than the average person's, he didn't rely on surveys to guide his actions.
Dr. Robert Taguchi, our guest on the program, the book is The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs. Talk about the role of habits in his success as an entrepreneur. You've talked about habits and the role that's played in his innovation, his breakthrough technology. How about as an entrepreneur? How did that help in that success?
I think to be successful in that field, you really have to have a lot of motivation. You've got to have a lot of drive and passion to really succeed. And I think Steve applied habits that he had to motivate himself. One of them was that his idea of personal reflection. And he would look at himself in the mirror and think about each day, how would he live each moment of that day, so that he was very proud of that day, and he would grade himself. So he motivated himself. Every morning he would get up and look in the mirror and talk to himself, how am I going to make this day the best possibly possible? Then he had the habit of looking for big, hairy, audacious goals, goals that nobody else could think of, because that would drive him, get him even more motivated. So if you could think of something like the iPhone, that would be completely revolutionary, because you could have a computer at your fingertips in your pocket, have your music on it, being able to have videos, to talk to your friends, to chat, to do everything you could possibly have in that handheld device. That big, hairy, audacious goal drove him every single day. He got up in the morning, know what he was going to do. And the third thing I think is that he had a vision. He had a unique habit of saying, let me go beyond what I see right in front of me, and let me have a long-term vision for where this product is going. So with the computer industry back in the 80s, he even came up with this phrase that the computers are like a bicycle for our minds. Think of that, a bicycle for our minds. And it says, when we're walking, it's slow, it's inefficient, hardly getting around. But think of it, if you were on a bicycle and you could move, you could accelerate your ability to apply reason to math and to science. And he said, you know, the computer has that potential. It's going to be a bicycle for your mind. It's going to be symbiotic, working together. You're going to take it to the next level of effectiveness and efficiencies because of his vision. So I think when you have those kinds of habits of being a visionary, having big, hairy, audacious goals, and grading yourself every day, you're going to have a breakthrough product.
When you talk about his accomplishments, that really is a litany of big, hairy, audacious goals, isn't it? I mean, most of those things he's responsible for, most people would say, Steve, you're wasting your time. You can't do that. That just can't be done. And he built a legacy that will impact the lives of millions of people for decades, centuries probably, because of what he's done. Will we ever see anybody like him again?
Well, let me provide a caveat just to, before I talk about will you ever see someone like him again. A caveat is this person went from rags to riches. He wasn't born with parents who are going to send him to an Ivy League school. Right. He didn't have a trust fund. He didn't have wealthy relatives. He was an orphan. I mean, he was given away by his mother because she was a Catholic, from up north, and her prospective husband was someone that was not even from this country. So she gave him up. So he went as an orphan in a middle-class family. So his dad was a machinist, and his mom, Clara Jobs, was a homemaker. They didn't even have college educations. Just think about how difficult it is to break out of that, that just being that lower middle-class rung in life, and becoming a person with almost over $11 billion as an entrepreneur. How do you do something like that by yourself? And I attribute it, he's a unique individual that developed the system of habits to do. And I believe that if somebody out there that can do this, they just have to make up their minds that I really want to craft myself by applying these insights from Steve Jobs into my life. I can learn from this. I can be better, and I can have a system of habits that will get me there in terms of my character, in terms of my knowledge, in terms of my execution. And I have a blueprint. I can follow what Steve Jobs did and be truly successful. He didn't have anybody helping him. So I have faith that there's going to be someone out there that will follow along his path.
A lot of people are saying that's you. The roadmap to success, the great blueprint is there in the book, The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs. It's the how. That's the important part of it, the how. That's addressed by Dr. Robert Taguchi, our guest on the program. The book is available wherever books are sold. His website is roberttaguchi.com, and that's spelled T-O-G-U-C-H-I. Go to our website. You can link on directly to Dr. Taguchi's website, get information. The book, as I say, available at Amazon. Talk a little bit about your experience in getting the word out there on this very important book in dealing with EC Publishing. What has that been like working with them?
EC Publishing has been an extraordinary company. They take you from the very beginning, and they work with you. And they give you publicists that can help you think through the next step. They've got me signed up for the Miami Book Fair. They've worked with me to get media, social media, Facebook, LinkedIn advertisements. They brought me on this radio show. Easy Publishing has been a tremendous company, and I highly recommend it to those that want to get in the writing business.
This has been such a pleasure to have you on the program. We could talk for hours about the winning habits of Steve Jobs and the remarkable job that you've done in finding out the how behind this great man. Dr. Robert Taguchi has been our guest on the program. Doctor, thank you so much for sharing some time with us on the program today. Congratulations on the success of the book, The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for bringing me on board, and I hope to see you at the Miami Book Fair.
We'd love to. And here's your chance to get some nice weather and get some great information as well, and stop by and say hello to Dr. Taguchi down at the Miami Book Fair. The Winning Habits of Steve Jobs, Dr. Robert Taguchi, our guest on the program. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.